Christian Medical and Dental Associations hope you enjoy today's chapel message.
Last time I was here, we started a sermon and got halfway through it, so you're going to get the other half today. But we're doing a series on the fruit of the Spirit, and this is what we as Christians should be bearing fruit that people see in our lives that attracts them towards our Savior and ministers like He did when He was here on earth. And you remember the verse, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And last time we talked about gentleness. It's a topic I'd never really thought about or ever preached on, and it's been a blessing, the study, to me. And gentleness is strength under control. That's our definition. It's the ability to stay calm no matter what happens. And we'll talk more about that. And then we talked about the benefits of gentleness. And just a quick review, gentleness diffuses discord. Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. In Proverbs 15:1, in another version, a kind answer soothes angry feelings, but harsh words stir them up. In Ecclesiastes 10:4, don't give up your job when your boss gets angry. If you stay calm, you'll be forgiven. That's in a very today translation of that verse, but I like it. Gentleness disarms critics. 1 Corinthians 4:13, we respond gently when evil things are said about us. If you're doing anything, somebody's going to like the fact that not like the fact that you're doing it, even in ministry. And so gently when people say not so nice things about us. Titus 2:8, your conversation be so sensible that anyone who wants to argue with you will be ashamed because they won't be able to criticize anything you do. And then gentleness is compelling. We talked about that. Gentle speech breaks down rigid defenses. A wise, mature person is known for understanding. The more pleasant his or her words, the more persuasive he is. And in 1 Timothy 6:11, as a man of God, pursue what God approves of, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. You kind of look at that and think, wow, I didn't expect that word to be in that verse. But gentleness is attractive in a man, and we talked about that. And Ruth, that great story of Ruth and Boaz, Ruth 2:13 through 14, in the Good News Translation, Ruth answered, you are a very kind man to me, sir. You have made me feel better by speaking gently to me, even though I am not the equal of one of your servants. He's speaking to Boaz and how he had treated her. And then gentleness is attractive in a woman. 1 Peter 3:4. You should be known for the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. Now we're going to move on to the next thing. We've got four more things I want to emphasize to you about gentleness. Gentleness communicates love. Gentleness communicates love. Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wife and be gentle with them. Quickest way to improve your marriage, talk to your wife in a more gentle manner, guys. It's interesting. I preach this at South Bristol. And my brother-in-law came up to me the next week. They've moved to town, and his wife has severe dementia and can't remember hardly anything. Still a pleasant spirit and not angry or anything that sometimes can happen with dementia. But he walked up to me and said, thank you for that sermon last week. And it's been a blessing to me. I said, well, how's that? He said, well, you know, I can tell Patty to do this and do that, and you tell her five times, six times, seven times. And it's easy not to be gentle when you get on the seventh and eighth time you're talking about something. And this has helped me so much, applying it, being gentle to his wife in a situation where she has little or no memory. Anyone can be a fool. Anyone can be rude or selfish. But gentleness makes for a great marriage union of two great, what? Forgivers. Forgiving. If you don't keep score, if you're gentle, you realize that who you married's not perfect, and guess what? You're not perfect either. Then there's going to be a win for gentleness, a win for gentleness. Gentleness is also the key over in Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment, but rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and counsel of the Lord. Don't set standards so high for your kids that they can't meet them. Be age appropriate. I made those mistakes, thinking my three-year-old boy, could remember, Jason could remember what he was supposed to do 5 days later. Being age appropriate and your discipline and your guidance and not demanding perfection. Somehow we expect our kids to be better than we were when we were that age. I found myself doing that. And then disciplining with gentleness. That doesn't mean you don't discipline, but you don't do it out of anger, you don't do it out of meanness, you don't do it out of just getting put out, but you discipline with gentleness. And I think we talked briefly about that last time. And build up and don't wear your children down. You want them to be coming to you for their whole life looking for good counsel and advice. And that begins with good discipline and gentleness. And this is true for women as well. Often parents communicate most effectively when their children, by the way they listen and address each other. Their conversations showing gentleness and love are heard by our ever alert and impressionable children. Your children are going to be likely to imitate you, how you did it. Maybe they'll do better than you did. Maybe they'll do worse than you did. But the tendency is to take how your parents dealt with you in discipline and then do it the same with your children. We were down visiting Jason over the 4th of July. And, when they were growing up, we had people in our home all the time. People coming out to help for a month at Tenwick. We didn't have a guest house when we first got there. We had folks living with us for a month. People staying with you for 2 or 3 days is very pleasant. When they've been there a month, you kind of wish, well, maybe it would be nice to have an evening for ourselves. And we were in a little 3-bedroom house with one main room where the dining room and the couches were. And so, you were with them all the time. And I was down there on the 4th of July, and here Jason invited a whole bunch of docs and friends over and kids, and they were out in the back in their little above-ground swimming pool they had bought, and everybody's just having a ball running all over the house. And I thought, well, I know where he learned to do that. He learned that from us. And it was kind of neat to see. And the opportunity in those situations to mentor, and you don't realize how much is your teaching is being caught. And I remember one of my profs that was one of my teachers came out, and we were going up the hill, and he looked over at me and says, I feel like I'm starting my internship over again. He had never been in a mission hospital. He was going to do things he had never done. And those type of things where he was a wonderful mentor to me, and then I became a mentor to him. Here, let me tell you how to treat malaria. Here's how you're going to deal with this. That type of thing where he treated me with gentleness and became a friend during residency, then I had the opportunity to turn it around. And it's true not only for your children as you mentor them and discipline them, but also for your grandchildren. And that's the stage we're in now. We're going to have 6 grandchildren in our house for 5 days starting Wednesday night, and their parents are leaving. So it's going to be, I'm preaching this to myself, David, be gentle. They go from 13 down to 6, so it's going to be crazy. Max Lucado said this. Lucado said this, I choose gentleness. Nothing is won by force. I choose to be gentle. If I raise my voice, may it be only in praise. If I clench my fist, may it only be in prayer. If I make a demand, may it only be of myself. Gentleness earns respect. Gentleness earns respect. Proverbs 11:16, a woman of gentle grace will be respected. It's true, isn't it? You probably can remember some people like that. One that comes to mind is Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa, of course, of a Catholic background, but the impact she had on the world because of her ministry. And in 1994, she was asked to address the National Prayer Breakfast. And back in those days, all of the people came. President Clinton was there with Hillary, and Vice President Gore was there with his wife, and 3,000 other people at this huge prayer breakfast. And I looked up a picture, and she is only about 5 foot tall. And you could barely see her head behind the microphones. They didn't get a, they should have had a stool for her. But she said this, with sweetness and grace and gentleness, but I feel that the greatest destroyer of peace today is abortion, because it's a war against the child, a direct killing of the innocent child, murder of the mother by the mother herself. And if we accept that a mother can kill even her own child, how can we tell other people not to kill one another? Very forceful, but she said it with a gentle voice and to a group that many of them were pro-abortion. Gentleness earns respect. A woman of gentle grace will be respected. The second verse is this, Hebrews 13:7. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their lives and imitate their faith. Gentleness is something that you like to see in a leader, and that doesn't mean that they don't do discipline or have to deal with difficult situations, but I wrote this in Leadership Proverbs, the book that Bert Jones and I wrote. Too often overlooked leadership qualities are gentleness and genuineness. Both are essential for leadership success. If you have to tell people you're the leader, you aren't. Anyone who thinks they're a leader isn't if no one is following them. The only thing they're doing is taking a walk by themselves. And gentleness is like a magnet. Once you model it as a leader, other people are more likely to model you. And I think it's a special result for leaders. And you can think of some great leaders like that. Abraham Lincoln, the terribleness of the Civil War and the hundreds of thousands of men that died and people starving and all the difficult situation. And he said this, nothing is stronger than gentleness. You remember after the war, the North wanted to punish the South for what they had done and take their land and do all sorts of things. And Abraham Lincoln wouldn't let it happen. He very much said, that's not how we treat. Even though we had a war with them, we need to treat them with gentleness. Martin Luther King, too often we underestimate the power of touch, a smile, a kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment, or the smallest act of caring, all of which have the potential to turn a life around. He was fighting for equality, but he did it with gentleness. He was forceful in his speech and gentle in his spirit. And then we have an example in the Bible where that didn't happen. You remember King Rehoboam? He was the son of Solomon. Solomon built this huge empire, and Solomon and his wisdom, and they had expanded the land that they had. They had conquered other groups. He had a strong army. They were extremely rich. People were coming to just meet him to say, how can I be like Solomon? And he left his kingdom to his son, Rehoboam. And Rehoboam went to Shechem for his coronation. That's where they crowned him. And there the people requested that he lighten the taxes and labor requirements. And this came from the elders, the wise men of the kingdom, saying, you know, your father accomplished a lot, but we've pushed the people very hard, and the labor and their taxes and all the rest of it. And he dismissed the elders' wise counsel. And he went to some of his younger friends. Instead, they said, well, that's not what we need to do. We need to double the work. We need to double the taxes. And if you remember from your Bible what happened, the whole country was split. 10 tribes left out of the 12. Rehoboam's kingdom became much smaller, and they never reunited in the Bible. Lost power as a nation forever. Didn't follow the advice, and he didn't use gentleness. Moses. I think of Moses with the Ten Commandments and throwing them down and all the rest of it. But you know, this verse is in the Bible. Now, the man Moses was very meek above all the men who were in the face of the earth. The only two people called meek in the whole Bible is Jesus and Moses. Now, he had a temper at times that came out and made some mistakes. But apparently, most of the time, he was gentle. Meek is the word for gentleness in the Bible. He took on Pharaoh and troublesome people. And the point I think we're trying to make here is Moses wasn't weak, but he was teachable. And God had to teach him some lessons. And one of them, because of things he did, he didn't enter the promised land. But there's evidence that he was gentle. Gentleness is a witness. Gentleness is a witness. Titus 3:2, a believer should never speak evil of anyone, nor be quarrelsome. Instead, they should be gentle and show courtesy to everyone. Disagree, but not be disagreeable. You just listen to the news tonight or go online and read the news, and there's not much gentleness, is there? We're a very divided nation politically. And we can agree to disagree on issues, but we can't malign or make personal attacks or be quarrelsome. Somebody, the political party that you're not part of. And remember this, no party is right all the time. Say it again, no party is right all the time. And the bottom line is, we cannot win people to Christ if they're our enemies. You can be winsome. You can say things kindly even when you disagree. You have to be credible, gentle, and even other Christians may criticize you. But that's why here at CMDA we have statements on ethical issues and other things, but we don't deal with political issues in the sense of taking sides. And then as Christians, we should have friends who are not of our faith, Muslims, gays, Mormons, liberal, left-wing, right-wing, whatever, because gentleness can open the doors for ministry. And 1 Peter 3:15 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for your hope that's in you, but do this with gentleness and respect. We don't win friends by hitting them over the head with a 2x4 verbally. We win them with a gentleness in our words, a gentleness in our actions, and a love for them as individuals. When you think of someone, like, who do you think about? Billy Graham. He visited every president, met with them in the White House, and prayed with them, no matter what their party was. And he witnessed to them. He witnessed to them because of that. I think of the witness that Edna Boroff, I've talked about Edna Boroff before. She's a little 4'8" woman who came out in the back of a cart pulled by oxen the final miles to Tenwick and joined two nurses there back in the 1940s. She was still there when I was there in the 1980s, and she delivered 18,000 babies. She had such a gentle spirit. She had dealt with every problem you could imagine. You just watched her with the women and how kind she was to them. And she was so famous. People all over there knew her and loved Miss Edna, as they called her. Here she is on the right when I went out as a student, helped me deliver babies. And then in this next picture is her. She loved on our kids, never married, never had children. Well, she had 18,000 of them, but none of them were her biological. People were proud to say she delivered. But here we are, we're having a birthday party for Jessica. And there's Edna up there with a big smile on her face right in it. She just loved our kids. I can show you other pictures. And there's Jason. And I guess, Marby, that's Stacy. Yeah, that's Stacy. I can't see the picture, so small. Gentleness. A Christian reveals true humility by showing the gentleness of Christ, by being always ready to help others, by speaking kind words and performing unselfish acts, which elevate and ennoble the most sacred message that has come into our world. Ellen White said that. And, you know, in medical school, you learn to deal with difficult situations and all kinds of people, and yet gentleness, as I think about it, is probably one of the most important characteristics. You want to be competent, but, you know, I got a note from my sister, and she said this: the visit was encouraging, if nothing else, built on the pleasantness and upbeat personality of Dr. Amin, who's a Muslim. She explained how she worked with a neurosurgeon in targeting and administering treatment to the cancer in the brain. I talked to her about this after she sent me the note. She was just so kind, so concerned and gentle with us as she explained what was ahead, and we appreciated it so much. Gentleness makes a huge difference. Gentleness makes us like Jesus, Matthew 11:28-29. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. When I think of that, I think of the picture of Jesus picking up the children and putting them in his lap and saying, let the children come unto me. He loved people, and he was gentle in the way he treated them. Is it possible that the pressure and stress in your life can actually turn people off? But gentleness makes us more like Jesus, makes us more attractive. I remember some patients you never forget, and I'll call her Mrs. Williams. It was in my last year resident. She came into the hospital in the emergency room and had some belly pain, and I did a workup on her, and found out she had cancer. I remember when I first went into her room, she had her Bible by her on her bedside table. And so we talked, and I said, well, you know, it doesn't look too good. Can we get your family to come in so I can talk to them? And we brought the family in. I got them all to sit down and with her and explained that she had pancreatic cancer and wasn't going to make it. And I'll never forget it. After they left, she looked at me and said, soon I'm going to see Jesus. Soon I'm going to see Jesus. She had such a gentle spirit. And, you know, I tried to be gentle with her family. She ministered to me. I found myself going by her room every day just to be uplifted by her until I was at her bedside holding her hand when she died. Gentleness, such a gentle spirit, and we need to model that. Galatians 5:22-23, the fruit of the Spirit. So let me give you a few practical applications and we'll wind it up here. Kind of hard to read through, tears in your eyes. Practice makes better. When something serves you, be understanding, not demanding. And let me get this a little bigger and I can see it. And maybe not. Don't just think about your own affairs, but be interested in others too and in what they are doing. Your attitude should be the same as Jesus Christ. Rick Warren said all these things, these three things about gentleness. Practice makes better. For her birthday, I called up Walmart to get her a cake. And a young girl answered, and she was very pleasant. I was just impressed with her. And so I asked her what her name was and thanked her, asked her for some advice, and she gave me advice on what, you know, she's going to do. And when I got to the store, lo and behold, this young girl comes walking out, and I said, I think her name was Kathy. I said, Kathy? Are you Kathy? Oh, yeah. And just told her how much I appreciated her, and I said, open that cake, I want to see it. And she said, wow, it was. She had done it herself and that type of thing. But practice makes better, Rick Warren. When someone disagrees with me, be tender without surrender. The other one I didn't say. Be understanding, not demanding. When you go to a restaurant, how do you act with the person that waits on you? It's an opportunity to minister to them in what you say and how you act and you have your appreciation and with your tipping and all the rest of it. Build a relationship with these people. They've come into your life. You've got a few moments to touch their lives. Practice makes better. Be tender without surrender, Romans 4:1. Welcome with open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way you do, and don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with. Even when it seems that they are strong on opinions but weak on faith, treat them gently. Practice makes better. Gentleness. We've talked about that already. That just emphasizes it. And lastly, he said this, when somebody disappoints you, be gentle, not judgmental. Galatians 6:1, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself or you may also be tempted. Be like Jesus. And I could give you examples of that. I'm not going to take the time to do, but you know, when you're in a leadership position, you've got to be doing some discipline as well. But always the goal is to be gentle, build people up, correct them, help them to become what they need to be, and help them to improve in the areas where they're not meeting the standards. Be gentle and not judgmental. Let's close with this. Gentleness is not weakness, just the opposite. Preserving a gentle spirit in a heartless world takes extraordinary courage, determination, and resilience. Do not underestimate the power of gentleness, because gentleness is strength wrapped in peace, and therein lies the power to change the world. And finally, the last scripture, let your gentleness be evident to all. That's my prayer for myself. It's my prayer for you as you minister to people directly and indirectly today and every day, and to your family and to your community and in your church. Your gentleness should be evident to all. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, help me to be more gentle, using the words and actions that represent you the best. Lord, gentleness communicates you, and we want to be examples that bring credit to you and draw people unto you. I pray for each person here as they deal with people today and every day in their jobs. May they be more like you, and may people see gentleness in each one of us. In your Son's name, amen.